Laut Strom.
Features.
Number 59. Being Radio Pauls. A radio feature by Anna Bromley featuring Cause Cosmica, the Milan-based catalyst and platform for artists, scientists and researchers from various disciplines. The next hour will take you through interviews and conversation that provided the initial spark of my ongoing conversation with the Milan-based collective Cause Cosmica. Plus, you will get to listen to remote interviews with the Cause Cosmica brains, Helga Franzer and Silvia Hell. Before finding your perfect space for listening, you can shake your honey buns to the B-52s, a track from the year 1989.
You better shake your honey buns! Shake your honey buns!
Don't you hold back before I collect your ears for reflections, thoughts and conversations with Cause Cosmica and the voices of all their latest collaborators, which are the neurologist Michele Caparo, the architect Cristina Fiordimella, the artists Luca De Leva, Matteo Gremonesi, Freddy Paul Grunert and Bruno Muzzolini, the astrophysicist Massimo Cappi, Luca Valenciano, Maria Teresa Crosta, the economist Andrea Fumagalli and the philosopher Franco Bifo Berardi. All the voices, you better shake your honey buns. It's about time to enter the cosmic wagon train.
There, they were shaking their cosmic thing. Like someone gave you a wild blue thought.
in the beginning of summer, while reading the Wired magazine, I stumbled over something fascinating, which happened to be the beginning of a writing adventure. It was the Afro Caravan Foundation's Senseless Residency that was announced on Wired's website with the following headline: "This would be a cool thing to do if you have no sane reason to be working in Milan." Truly, I had a sane reason in seeking to speak to Milan's Tuta Bianca activists, but my research on silliness seemed insane enough for me to send a proposal. This is how I came to be the first artist in residence on this emerging platform in Milan's Chinatown, whose name patron is a little known and lost on sea Dada artivist, and whose curation is done by Cose Cosmiche, which in Italian means cosmic things. If you had two sentences, Cose Cosmiche, any length, what would be your statement about cosmic things?
Cosmic things is always an unpredictable discovery, because it doesn't come from the mind of a single person.
We are interested in a cosmic attitude. The idea is to stimulate thoughts that links and leads to unexpected directions and connections.
The way in which we think and organize the various things we do, in which Helge and me imagine something and need to put into practice, is always in a not serious way. We laugh a lot when we conceive ideas.
We want to create the condition and the possibility of a contamination between ideas and knowledges, between researchers. And for doing this, we use all the crazy ideas that comes to our mind.
I think that one of the strong points behind our friendship is that we come from two different generations. And this is very stimulating, because our education was different and we have different references. And this creates a clever collision.
When having my first coffee with the Cosa Cosmica team in Bernie's Bakery, Milano, Helga Franza and Silvia Hell were awaiting a radio broadcast that they had done for the Swiss independent cultural radio Gwendolyn. So we finished our coffees and rushed into the backyard of the Arthur Craven Foundation to listen to Franco Berardi's heated and provocative thoughts on the theme of heroes. Silvia and Helga would live translate for me, and there we were, already in the midst of the beginning of a rich exchange about senselessness, that what we don't take seriously and that which we might pay too much seriousness to, about the experience of time and time-based formats. I have noticed that a lot of Cosa Cosmica's work and events reflect on time, both in the choice of format and in the themes of focus. This spring, you involved your visitors in a conference on strolling, which of course happened while slowly walking. And when we first met, you edited your first radio shows. And right now, you were conceiving the Dialogues on Time, a public conversation at the Palazzo Arquinto in Milano, in collaboration with the Archivio dei Luoghi Pii I Monsignori di Milano. And apropos time, one of the inspirations for Cosmic Things derives from a song, since it was inspired by the B-52's fifth album, Cosmic Things, which they released in 1989. I actually find it interesting how the year of the release coincides with a feeling of accelerated time in my own life. 1989 was the end of Cold War, the year the Berlin Wall started to turn into a tourist attraction after having been the ultimate boundary of my spatial experience all through my East Berlin childhood. The second thought that comes to mind is that music is one of the time-based art forms, and not only this, it also has the potential that listeners relate to it with their bodies. They can dance, they can feel and express their musicality. How does your Cosa Cosmica practice react to experiences, thoughts and perhaps needs that you identified in your work, experiences with art and institutions? And what did you feel was missing or could be inspiring.
About art and institutions and working with them, I think it's not a way of something that is missing or inspiring us. I think it's both, because when something is missing, inspire something. Open your imagination to create something different and to new ideas and to imagine something that is missing. So missing is always inspiring for me, for us. And I think also we don't want to react to something. It's not a reaction. But our point is to create resonance. When we meet people, invite researchers, we want to create a resonance, and also with attitudes of people. And so go to make an influence, a different point of view for institutions and for places of art where we act.
I like the institutional, public or private place of art. I like the beautiful places, the places of art. The care they have are magnificent. I love them. At the same time, sometimes they lack a bit of vitality. No? So dancing, listening to music, do not put too many issues on what to do, but doing what we really like seems trivial, but taking serious and complex arguments in a light way, this is what we also do in relation to institutions. And then forget the rules that govern a field or a system. Just don't care about it.
Yes, at the end we feel like a band, a music band. No, we don't feel like an artistic group. Or my feeling is to be a part of a band.
Yes, a band without a sala prove.
Without the place where to play. Okay, we play around, imagine things to do. And so it's related with music, with the attitude of music. And this is very important. And also people we are in contact with say, okay, working with you, and it's like to be part of the Cosmic Things band. This is the attitude we want to improve and to do.
Let's talk about the radio program you conceived and broadcasted together with Radio Gwendolyn. The theme of the antidotes, antidoti, was provided by Radio Gwendolyn, which is an independent cultural radio from Chiasso, Ticino, Switzerland. It seems to me that Cosa Cosmica likes to work with initial sparks, reflections and views on space, time, energy and matter. For your radio broadcast, you actually intensified the concept of the antidote by choosing for each broadcast two persons from different disciplinary backgrounds to have a conversation. But these two, and that's the amazing part, never actually met for the conversation. So a lot of your practice seems to be about dialogues and how you can stage dialogues, actually. The fact that you are two persons to exchange, that you often seem to invite pairs of two interlocutors in various situations to talk, either in front of others or remotely, or you make them talk through your sound editing. So my question would be, in how far did the concept of antidotes relate naturally with your practice?
Yes, exactly. What do you say about antidote? Even two people who talk from two different points of a topic can be seen, just to say, as an antidote to each other. One's argument creates connection that can work as a solution to the arguments they are talking about.
When we were invited to the Antidotes Festival, we were really excited, both from the idea to use the radio as a medium, and also the things was really incredible to talk about antidotes, because antidotes is a kind of positive point of view on a problem. You don't look just at the problem, but find the antidote to reverse an idea. It's like to have a cosmic point of view.
It is somehow a concept dealing with binaries, with one substance, erasing the effects of another substance. How do you reflect on the potentials of erasing, of subtracting, of disturbing that which antidotes do to their opposites?
We reflected a lot on subtract and disturb. And The thing is, when you listen to two researchers talk on the same argument, in your head can born a third thought. It's like a third idea that overcome a binary thinking and all become multidimensional.
The first and the last broadcast from the program had the title Antidotes for Yourself and for the Eternal Recurrence of the Equal. For this, you invited neurologist and psychotherapist Michele Capararo and artist Luca De Leva. Let's listen to a few fragments from their conversations on identity and the contrafactual, about exchanging life forms and views, on subtracting and on making reality stutter.
Dall'etimologia della parola antidoto, che appunto è semplicemente contro il dato, contro ciò che è dato.
When looking at the etymology of the word antidote, it actually derives from antidato, against information, against that which is given. The antifactual, within the current technological discourse about knowledge and the relationship between brain functions and new technologies, such as the internet, constantly broadens our considerations of what we take for granted, true, acquired, and self-evident.
Quindi la problematizzazione dell'ovvio inteso come qualcosa di culturalmente definito come verità. Si potrebbe anche ipotizzare che l'identità diventerà qualcosa di appunto diffuso, no?
We can assume that identity is constantly in a vast becoming. Identity is something that we need to daily seek and reconstruct constantly and perhaps with growing difficulties. And this has to do with the theme of the eternal recurrence of the equal. We need to feel like the same within our evolution. Otherwise, we go into disorders and psychological discomforts.
Al limite con i disturbi e i disagi psicologici. Una possibilità, secondo me, è che invece per mantenere
to maintain an identitarian think which ensures a consistent coherence, we need to think like an antidote and reduce reality. Reality is definitely far-reaching. We've got too much reality on which we can't decide what we actually mean by it.
Abbiamo troppa realtà sulla quale poi non abbiamo mai definito che cosa intendiamo.
In this moment in time, it is normal to confirm one's idea, however bizarre they might be. It is normal that we are capable to confirm them for a lack of analytical capabilities. Eli Parisi's analysis of the Google filter bubble shows exactly this. Users get less exposure to conflicting viewpoints and are isolated intellectually in their own informational bubble. On the base of our data, our past browsing, search history and credit card purchases, Google decides a priori what's interesting for us. We will particularly find that which assures us, that what we already think. There will be no more chance encounters, no more accidental bump-ins. And this is a form of standardization with which we all seem to be happy of being what we are. Everyone is in the same way different.
Che cosa siamo, confermano già che cosa pensiamo, no? Non ci saranno più incontri casuali, non ci saranno più incidenti, non ci saranno più contrasti, e quindi questa è una forma di normalizzazione in cui tutti saremo felici di essere ciò che siamo, no? Ognuno diverso dall'altro ugualmente.
Era abbastanza ambivalente il rapporto che avevo con l'esperienza in quel momento, perché se da una parte non
My relationship with experience was kind of
di abitudini.
On the one hand, I had decided I would not
avevo,
to be myself,
cioè,
to drop away
agli occhi l'ambiente di un altro,
and
potevo
at the same time
con,
I was dealing with the
essere,
environment of another
oggetti,
in which
esempio,
I could recognize some ways of being for the things. Only
quindi,
this shall not belong to me any longer.
Appunto,
so
un,
it's more like I was not being me,
stessa,
like
no?
An exercise of personal transformation into something else.
Esatto,
a transformation that went on because of my act of quitting,
che non
of
conoscevo.
Abandoning.
Questa trasformazione che avveniva per via dell'abbandono, no? Quindi ho scambiato la vista con una persona. Siamo andati, abbiamo trovato l'apparecchiatura
I switched
per fare,
the view with someone.
La realtà virtuale,
I've found the apparatus to do so in virtual reality glasses with a live feed from a wireless camera in real time.
Vista, diciamo.
So you see what the other person sees. You have to live in the neighborhood due to the transmission. Everyone saw the other. When the other looked at you, you saw yourself. It was kind of like being with a living mirror. That way you get out of yourself and are living in a third person. It was a way to attack the usual sense of things.
You are listening to Lautstrom number 59 by and with Anna Bromley. My guest for today's feature is Cose Cosmica, a Milan-based curatorial project. It's a platform run by Helga Franzer and Silvia Hell. What you heard just now is an extract from a radio program by the theme Antidoti nel Futuro, Antidotes of the Future. It was done in the realm of Grenstival 2017. Grenstival is a festival by Swiss independent cultural radio Gwendolyn, and it was on air from the 2nd to the 8th October 2017, so it's super fresh. What I did was dubbing excerpts from the Italian broadcast so that you can get an idea, get an insight of what they were all about. This first extract that you got to hear was from Antidoti ad estesso al eterno ritorno dell'uguale, Antidotes for Yourself and for the Eternal Recurrence of the Equal, with Michele Caparraro and Luca De Leva. As we heard, the first broadcast was all about the construction of identities, facts, and that which we take for given. In a way, you also played with the notion of contracted stability when recording the two dialogue partners one by one, apart from each other.
At first, we tried to put them in a face-to-face dialogue, but because of their tasks, it was not possible. So we decided to speed things up and to record them separately. When we heard them, it seems interesting to edit their pieces together. At the end, they just listen by radio. Both were happy with this solution, even they still desire to meet each other. We interviewed the artist first, and we just told to Michele something about Luca's experience and artwork.
The way we decided to set the transmission was because we wanted to create a dialogue between the two researchers, and we decided to use the editing. We didn't want to explain so much. We want let the ideas connect in the mind of the listeners. And the results is that connection at the end comes.
Another broadcast had the title Antidotes to the Accumulation Charm. For this, you invited the astrophysicist Massimo Cappi and the economist Andrea Fumagalli to elaborate on black holes, feedback effects, and event horizons in relation to life as a source of new accumulation, machinization, common fare, and currency as a pure sign. Let's listen to some of it.
La nostra
società Our society's economy is based on the concept of accumulation, and this concept has taken increasingly different forms
oggi,
over time. The news today, if we can say this, is that the accumulation source in capitalistic terms is expanding. It is not just the working time in locations like offices or factories that are regulated by a distribution between lifetime or non-work time and work time, but today the life itself is considered an accumulation source. All the things we do, even in an unconscious way, are used and added in the accumulation cycle. Our consumption, our relationships or leisure time, the time we spend on social media platforms, all these are feeding into a source of a new kind of accumulation that creates a value, often expropriated for the benefit of a few.
A vantaggio di pochi. Questa nuova accumulazione.
This new accumulation is indeed an accumulation in the very Marxist term of use. It extends at the basis of the accumulation, and this can happen because before that, some activities like caretaking and cherishing social relationships were not included in the capitalist production logic. These activities have now become internal to the process of accumulation and are absorbed within a value cycle. And this is happening thanks to the new technological paradigm that's become a source of accumulation itself. By technological paradigm, I mean the new border of the artificial intelligence, the neurosciences, the bio and nanotechnologies, the second generation algorithms that create a machinic element that allows the self-accumulation, a mechanic accumulation that is in a hybrid relation of interdependence with the human accumulation. The new technologies change the relation between human beings and machine. We don't access it as a relationship from the interior of body, mind, heart and nerves anymore, but from something external, the machine, something that I can touch, that is palpable. The connections between interior and exterior became hybrid. This machine's non-active work tends to become active work. The human being's active work is tolerized and becomes partly non-active work. The force of gravity is considered as to be well known, also in its complex details. But we actually only know it up to a certain point, because we know very little about space-time singularities in the event horizons of black holes. We know that we have a few theories about what could happen inside a black hole event horizon. But as no data crosses the boundary of a black hole event horizon, nothing comes to us from that area. We can't prove our assumptions. What we have are mere theories. It will be very difficult in the next years to know what's happening inside a black hole.
È possibile un welfare che sia in grado di essere in primo luogo adeguato a queste trasformazioni e in secondo in grado di rispondere a quelli che sono i bisogni sociali?
It is possible to have a welfare that could be appropriate to these transformations. A welfare that could be able to meet the social needs in a time in which the inequalities greatly increase and in which the concentration of wealth is the norm, in which alterity and heterogeneity become conflict elements and lead to the creation of new hierarchies, in which the human identity is defined in aversion to other identities. I think what we need to discuss is a welfare proposal that should rather be called common fare, common fare, a welfare of the commons. With the organization of social production, the joint activities that form a life, like friendships, capabilities and talents, altruism and individualism, are naturally inserted, and so the wealth creation can't be assured individually anymore. as it was the case in the Taylorist factory assembly chain. Nowadays, the net economy, the cognitive economy, needs a development of social cooperation, and some of us define the commons and not the common goods. Commons are part of our life. They are ontological, as is our existence. Commons must be protected and recognized. Today, commons are not just unrecognized, but also expropriated. Profit and financial annuity is based on the exploitation of the not privately owned commons, which are accessible to all members of a society. The common welfare economy fosters experimentations with self-organization communities between people that get to be sustainable over time, independent from hierarchies or repressions, which are not only regulated by police or war power, but also by financial markets and political stability agreements, by all these unreal constraints imposed by the economic hierarchy. It is key to search monetary instruments that will allow the creation of monetary circuits of relation, such as bartering or time banking. But it will be most important to create new and alternative monetary instruments that can finance the growing common fare. As technology allows this today, we can create currency from nothing. Currency is absolutely dematerialized after the end of the Bretton Woods system, which meant a monetary policy that kept the exchange rate of national currencies within a fixed value in terms of gold. Now it is possible to create financial plots with currency ex nihilo from nothing. Virtual money or pure sign currency could be used to finance social activities and alternative production systems designed for the value of use and to satisfy human needs instead of exchange value needs. You are listening to Lautstrom number 59, featuring Cose Cosmiche, a platform and catalyst from Milano. What you just heard was an excerpt of a radio program which Cose Cosmiche did for Radio Gwendolyn in Switzerland, and you were listening to the voice of Andrea Fumagalli, a member of the Institute for New Economic Thinking and militant researcher, as he proclaims. My name is Anna Bromley, and you get to hear more of the radio excerpts, but also Helga Franzer and Sylvia Hell, who are actually the brains behind Cose Cosmiche, in conversation with me, and it will be a remote conversation, which means that I send them the question as files and received files back. So we have an interesting interview situation here. Andrea Fumagalli said that all things we do, often not consciously, are added in an accumulation cycle. The consumptions, the relationships, the free time, the time spent on social media are all feeding into a source of a new kind of accumulation that creates a value often expropriated by ourselves for the benefit of a few others. You parallel this with Massimo Cappi's thoughts on black holes and how they destabilize our thinking of the law of gravity. This makes me wonder if we could actually use the potentials of radio or also other time-based formats as structured time experiences that allow avoiding too much accumulation. Perhaps that's also what you suggest with your residency when inviting guests to involve in senselessness in a defined time frame. How do you think about this?
We are used to the power of images, the power of seeing. And so when we use a time medium like the radio, where you can just listen, it changes our time perception and slowly the time. Also, we are used to make plans for everything and we are overloaded by information, slaves of productivity. This is also why we started to think at the senseless as a new space of action. Who come to the senseless residency can dedicate energy to a senseless project and can build a new attitude on time and action.
Yeah, and I should mention that I was the first resident of your amazing concept, the senseless residency, that I spotted in the Wired magazine, and I got interested right away. So when I arrived, you were producing the radio show. We were sitting in the deck chairs of the backyard of Afro Caravan Foundation a lot, talking about radio. This last summer, I had just involved in the documentary Radio Savvy Radio, where we talked a lot about the potentials of radio making and of undoing and redoing radio or appropriating radio. Yeah, so I witnessed the production of the radio shows, which we can hear in this broadcast, in the making. It was interesting because you involve a lot of astrophysicists. Perhaps that's not a big surprise because you called Causa Cosmica, and I noticed that from the 9 radio shows you produced, you had 3 involving astrophysicists. And that's quite curious, actually. This is also connected to your ongoing dialogues on time. And I have the feeling that there is a strong relation also to one radio show you did, which was called Antidotes for Borders, for which you invited astrophysicist Maria Teresa Crosta and artist Bruno Mozzolini to reflect on space-time journeys into the future boundaries, thresholds, traps, and unnoticeable borders. Maria Teresa Crosta defines time as a state of the unfocused, and you took this for the base of your conversation series, Dialogues on Time. Can you tell us a bit about how the radio format found entrance into the live talks which you are realizing right now?
There is always a space-time relationship. The dynamic between the two experiences, projects, is almost similar. The difference is that in the live talks, we are all in physical co-presence, term that Michele, the neurologist, has used. Physical co-presence, both the speakers and the audience. We share the same space, not just time. Time had emerged in many of the Antidotes dialogues. So in Dialogues on Time, we wanted to focus our attention on time, listening to the reflections of artists, scientists, historians, chess players. Even in this case, we will hear about time travels from many points of view. The broadcasts had a post-production. In dialogues, all is in real time. The voices of the speakers will have not cuts. People can interfere in the speech. We will have 3 meetings in different places within the exhibition on the first floor of Palazzo Arquinto. Meetings will be recorded. We will have a way to deepen this mysterious being that is the time.
I already mentioned it in the beginning. When I arrived in Milan, my first day, you lived up the provocative antidote hypothesis of the philosopher Franco Berardi for me, who is also known as Bifo. As I hadn't heard the broadcasts, which somehow led to this train of thoughts, I found Bifo's argumentation quite surprising and also somehow irritating. Let's listen to some extracts of another show by the title Antidotes to Heroes, on contemporary heroes' negative feedback about exit roads and on time, about a look at the peripheral, about the silent contemplation of land, with philosopher Franco Bifo Berardi and Matteo Cremonesi.
Il partigiano e insisteva sul fatto che gli eroi sono un pericolo. Generalmente chi vuol fare l'eroe è quello che rovina la situazione.
My father was a partisan. He used to tell me that heroes are dangerous. He thought that the ones who want to be heroes are exactly the ones who always ruin the situation. But the concept of heroes is a bit pending and uncertain about the direction it must move, about the way in which we must understand it. What are contemporary heroes? I'll just say it. I'll try to speak out what comes to my mind. To me, a contemporary hero is Nasser Tarayev. He was a 17-year-old boy living in a Palestinian village, and one night he took a knife, left his house, went to a nearby house and stabbed a 13-year-old girl to death.
Una bambina di 13 anni. Tutto è orribile in questa storia, ma proprio perché è orribile è il modo in cui io vedo l'eroismo del nostro tempo. C'è un altro eroe.
Everything about this story is horrible, but precisely because it is horrible, I like to think that this connects to heroism of our time. Another hero that I particularly observe is called Kim Jong-un, the president of North Korea. He recently said Westerners need to wake up to realize that death is not just about others, but also for them. We can also bring death to their lands. That's another hero of our time. As you see, contemporary heroes talk systematically of death, as this is true to all heroes. From the Greek antiquity, from Achilles to Ettore, for centuries, they have always dealt with death. But the question has a new twist now in regard to Tarayev, but indirectly, also of Kim Jong-un. It is not only about death, but it is about suicide.
Si sono occupati della morte, ma ora la questione acquista un carattere nuovo. Nel caso di Tarayaf è evidente, ma anche nel caso di Kim Jong-un, in modo indiretto se vogliamo, non è solo di morte che si tratta, ma essenzialmente di suicidio. Ecco, questo è il punto. Se l'eroe è colui che porta all'estremo, che porta al grado più alto, più intenso, una tendenza che appartiene all'intera umanità, e allora non c'è dubbio, l'eroe del nostro tempo è uno che si prepara a uccidere se stesso.
If the hero is the figure which leads to the extreme, to the highest and most intense degree, the trend then is undoubted that the hero of our time is the one who prepares for suicide. Isn't this the essential nature of contemporary humanity? Isn't suicide what we are preparing with those seemingly innocent daily action, like raising the temperature of the planet, or when we reproduce gestures of everyday racism or consumerism? Isn't suicide that all the hard work of humanity of the last 30 or 40 years came to a point that puts us in front of an inevitable abyss?
L'umanità ha lavorato alacremente nel corso degli ultimi 30-40 anni, al punto che oggi vediamo con chiarezza che l'abisso si apre di fronte a noi, inevitabile. Questo è l'eroismo del nostro tempo, l'eroismo di un suicidio che si manifesta attraverso un incrocio, un intrigo di vendette suicidarie. Questo è il mondo che ci si spalanca davanti. Io sono di ottimo umore.
This is the heroism of our time, a heroism with a suicide attitude, which manifests itself in an intersection, an intricate mix of suicidal revenges. This is how the world unfolds in front of us.
Si risolveranno in un abbraccio. Io credo nell'internazionalismo. Credo che gli uomini.
I hope that everything I've said is not quite so, that all the predictions I have made will not take place and that all the promised, proposed and desired revenges will be resolved in an embrace. Because I think all that I have said is not true and all the predictions I have made will not happen. I believe in internationalism. I believe that men, women, children, all people share the same needs, that is to work less, and slower, to have the time to make love and to read comics. Work-free time is what men wanted since the Stone Age. I think that in the end, this desire, which is the only true human desire, to be more free and more equal, that this desire will ultimately make its way. Actually, the fog seems to prevail. I trust that the fog will dissipate, but to be honest, I cannot. Unimaginable at this moment, isn't it?
Love, oh love, oh what kind is love? un'estetica burocratica, anche di quella, anche nell'ambito domestico, no? Sono cose date su cui non si riflette, su cui si crea un gusto che è omologato e che di fatto, come dire, passa come automatico, non vi è una vera e propria riflessione mediamente.
A bureaucratic aesthetic, even in the home environment, belongs to the things that we usually do not reflect. A homogenized taste that is created, that becomes automatic, that we follow with no reflection. Despite this lack of reflection about this peripheral being, it creates an emotion. These objects create a sense of identity or identification through becoming an intimate subject. The boy, the girl, the couple, the family verifies its social effectiveness through the acquisition of these objects, through the possibility of being surrounded by them. And then this aspect behind all these objects and aesthetics involves homogenization and an interesting disposition to welcome this thing and to develop a new discourse. Because it is one thing to talk about the cup when that cup is my cup, and another is talking about my cup that is actually the cup of 2,000 more people,
come una tazza che in realtà posso ritrovare come la tazza di altre 2,000 persone, no? Più il tempo di una contestazione.
There's no more time for contestations. Actually, there should be time for contestations, but all the controversies are already prepared to be used. They are prepared to be immediately absorbed. Alterity is impossible in this democratic, capable, intuitive system that can absorb, assume everything without even denying it. But in assuming, it gets it to be disciplined. It is able to accommodate and host, and therefore no one looks elsewhere.
Si offre capace di ospitare, quindi nessuno va a cercare altrove. This could be London. Però da dove c'è sempre regola, da dove c'è sempre disciplinamento, da dove c'è ritmo.
Where there's always no regulation policies possible, where it's always disciplining, where there's a beat, which also creates the break. The quiet observation of these forms and these surfaces gives an opportunity to regenerate or regain a new sense that enters into the realm of home environments.
Come dire, un nuovo senso che cade nell'esistenziale.
You are listening to Lautstrom number 59 by and with Anna Bromley. My guests today are Corso Cosmica, a Milan-based platform, and the two brains behind it are Helga Franza and Silvia Hell. You just heard audio extract from their latest radio program called Antidote. This was an extract from the broadcast Antidotes to Heroes with Franco Bifoberardi and Matteo Cremonesi. The heroism of our time reminds systematically of death, but this is true of all the heroes ever, and indirectly it's not about death, but it's about suicide, because isn't it suicide what we're doing when we're wasting energy to raise the temperature of our planet? That's what Bifo said, and it's quite an unexpected turn he takes there in his argumentation. It's a curved thought, so to say. That was the one I witnessed. I'm sure there have been other surprising curvy thought roads that kept coming back in our works, projects, thoughts, and future ideas.
Sure.
We are almost at the end of our conversation. It has been a remote conversation, meaning that Helga and Silvia are not in Berlin with me now. They are in Milan, in Turin, in Lyon and elsewhere. And as you heard, we are also not Skyping, but we were sending back and forth files and questions and answers to have a remote conversation. I was really happy to be able to dub all this fantastic material Helga and Silvia had compiled in their radio program, including so many interesting interlocutors. I wish I could actually do more. The hour of broadcast is structuring what I could get to listen and what not. Last but not least, we want to also know what, where and when your next projects and events will be.
Next spring, we plan a Cose Cosmiche meeting into the wild in Liguria.
We are also thinking of a new walking conference on a bus from Briosco near Milano to the Swiss Alps.
I need to say goodbye. After that, you will get the opportunity again to shake your booties to the B-52's song. I need to play it again. It's like you're with your program, that the one show is the beginning and the end of the program for the eternal recurrence of the same self. And here we have the eternal recurrence of cosmic things. Sending all the warmest wishes from Berlin. Thank you for your time, tunes, inspirations, Helga and Silvia.
Hey, goodbye. Thanks for all, and was a pleasure to spend time and share time and have time and mix time with you all.
Thank you. Goodbye. Ciao, ciao.
Tschüss.
Tschüssi.
Tschüssi. Tschüssi. And thank you also all the listeners who lend us their ears for this hour of Lautstrom with and by Anna Bromley. You listened to Cose Cosmiche, which is a Milan-based platform run, inspired, conceived by Helga Franzer and Silvia Hell. And beside those two fantastic makers, we also listened to extracts and voices from their last radio program called Antidote, and namely from the broadcast, the one is called Antidote a te stesso e al eterno ritorno del uguale, which means antidotes for yourself and for the eternal recurrence of the equal, with Michele Capararo and Luca De Levo. Plus, we listened to another, which was called Antidote al fascino del accumulo, antidotes to the accumulation charm, with Massimo Capi and Andrea Fumagalli. The third was called Antidote agli eroi, to heroes, with Franco Bifo Berardi and Matteo Cremonesi. Until our ears meet again, you can dance to the B-52's Cosmic Thing, a track from the year 1989, and ever so groovy. Bye-bye!
Guy, ready till you had your fill, just like a pneumatic grill.